Hello and welcome to What Does the Bible Say? I'm your host, Dr. Wayne Davis of Creekside Messianic Fellowship in Jasper, Georgia. If you like what you hear in the Bible study today, there's 10 years worth of Bible studies available free of charge at john14:15.org. Now let's turn to today's Bible study. The way it's written, but I don't want to trust my memory. But Daniel's got the Hebrew there. He was quicker getting to it than I was. From here, go to 1 Chronicles 16. 1 Chronicles 16. Don't worry. If there's time, we'll get to the New Testament. We're getting there. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15. Is this an important topic? It is, because everybody you witness to is going to say, well, yeah, that was for them back there, but God didn't mean it for today. What have you seen in the scriptures? God meant it forever. So 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15. 1 Chronicles 16, verse 15. This is David, prophet and king. It says, remember his covenant forever. The word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. People give different estimates for a generation. 40 years, 70 years, 80 years. Make it the very smallest. Go with 40 years. What's 40 times 1,000? 40,000 years. And the earth is only 6,000 years old. So what does this tell you? It means into eternity future. Absolutely. And what's forever? His covenant and his word. But I thought the new covenant did away with the old covenant. No, it's the renewed covenant. The covenant hasn't been done away with. As much as the writers in Hebrews chapter 8 translated things to make it look that way. When do God's covenants end? Never. Psalm 89:34, my covenant I will not break nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. So what if God's covenant went away? Did he lie or did he just not know? In either case, it's catastrophic. So it just didn't happen. So his covenant and his word. Let's go to Psalm 105 verse 8. You know what? You're going to see the very same thing. Psalm 105 verse 8. I still remember leading my congregation down in Alabama 30 years ago, maybe. I said, what should we study next? And somebody said, Psalms. I said, Psalms? What's there in Psalms to study? And 2 years later, when we finished Psalms, we found that it's so full of prophecy, they became one of my favorite books. Psalm 105, verse 8. It is full of prophecy. Verse 8 says, he, referring back to verse 7, the Lord our God, remembers his covenant forever. In 1 Chronicles 16, it was you remember it forever. And here it's he remembers it forever. He remembers his covenant forever, the word which he commanded for 1,000 generations. Oh, where else do you see that reference to those generations?
You see it in Deuteronomy 7:9. You see it in Exodus 20.
Yeah, you do. Let's go back. Keep a finger here and go back to Exodus 20 for a minute. Our God is a merciful God. But the scripture doesn't promise it's that he's merciful toward everyone. I mean, if you were to ask Sodom and Gomorrah, they might tell you that God's a touch vengeful on occasion. But if you go back and read what God wrote, let's go to Exodus 20, verses 4 to 6. And we could chase the ibex for quite a long way and find other verses say the same thing. It says, you shall not make for yourselves a carved image, any likeness of anything that's in heaven above, or that's in the earth beneath, or that's in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity, the lawlessness, the words avon in Hebrew, of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, that's thousands of generations, to those who love me and keep my commandments. So God promised to show mercy to whom? Those who love me and keep my commandments. Just food for thought. So go back to Psalm 105, verse 8. He refers to the Lord our God, remembers his covenant forever, which he commanded for 1,000 generations. That word forever is le'olam. Le'olam. So, so long as we've not come to the new heavens and new earth, there is no argument that God's covenant and his commandments are still in effect. Go to Psalm 119, verse 89. Psalm 119, verse 89. For those who teach dispensationalism from the aspect that God keeps changing his mind and his plan, he can't decide what he wants. Look at Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Does God's word change? No. That word forever, le'olam. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. It's always been settled. It will remain to be settled. It will not change. Same psalm, Psalm 119, verse 160. Verse 160. Verse 160 puts it a little different. Says, the entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. So can God's word fail? I sometimes have to laugh at theologians that I'm discussing things with. We get to Matthew 5. They will often say, well, it was true when Jesus said it. He didn't know it was going to become untrue just 3 years later. Can God's word stop being true? No. Go to Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. Verse 8. Verse 8. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands for a little while.
Forever.
No, it says forever. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever. Which words? All of them. All of them. Psalm 89, verse 34 says, my covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Is God true, or is God a liar? We'll address that head on in just a few minutes. First, Isaiah 59. Oh, by the way, in Isaiah 40, verse 8, there was le'olam. Le'olam. Isaiah, you guys have probably figured that out by now. Isaiah 59, verse 21. Isaiah 59, verse 21. As for me, says the Lord, this is my covenant with them. My spirit who is upon you, and my words which I put in your mouth. So my spirit, my words shall not depart from your mouth, nor from the mouth of your descendants, nor from the mouth of your descendants' descendants, says the Lord, from this time and forevermore. That's ad olam. Ad olam. Meaning if we're not in the new heavens and the new earth, there's not a chance that a word has failed. So at this point, let's go to the New Testament. Because there's people that are getting frustrated with me out there and go to meeting land going, yeah, but that's all Old Testament stuff. Yeah, okay. Let's go to the New Testament.
Well, what is it that the New Testament calls Scripture? It's not itself.
That's correct. What does it call Scripture?
The law.
The law, the prophets, and the writings. Yeah. That's what Messiah himself defined as Scripture. But in Matthew 4:4, Messiah is going to quote from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3, which is from the Torah. Do you mean Messiah read the Torah?
He wrote the Torah.
He wrote the Torah. He knows everywhere. He's the living Torah. Matthew 4:4, but he answered and said, it is written. Where's it written? In the Torah. Why does he refer us back to the Torah? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Which words?
Every
word. So which commandment did God speak that no longer applies? Messiah says they all apply. Is he right or wrong? He's right. In Matthew 5, I'm sure that you guys have gone over verses 17 and 18 with the fine-tooth comb. But we'll do it again just in case. Verse 17 says, do not think. What color are the words?
Red.
Do not think that it came to destroy the law of the prophets. That's a Hebrew idiom. Matthew was originally written in Hebrew, not Greek. Many church fathers tell us that from the first century through the eighth century. To destroy the law is to teach it incorrectly. That's what the scribes and Pharisees have been doing. He says, I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. Just this week, I had a pastor tell me that Jesus fulfilled the law, so we don't have to. That's not this word fulfilled. You're thinking of an English word with a different meaning. This phrase, to fulfill, in Greek, write it down as plerosai. P-L-E-R-O-S-A-I. Plerosai. You want to know what it means? Keep a finger here and go to Romans 18:19. Romans 15:19, thank you. Romans 15:19, where the Apostle Paul uses the same verb, but they translate it well over here in Romans. Romans 15:19. And mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about to Illyricum, I have fully preached. That's what plerosai is. I have fully preached the gospel of Messiah. So come back and put that in here in Matthew 5:17. I did not come to destroy, but to fully preach. It means he came to clarify our understanding. The scribes and Pharisees have taught it wrong. He came to teach it correctly. Because you can't do what you don't know. So he wanted to make sure that come judgment day, you stand before him and say, I read what you said. I understood it. I did it. So go to verse 18, which is the reason we're here. Think of all those times we saw olam, le'olam, le'olam va'ed, ad olam, kol hayamim, tamid. Verse 18 says, for assuredly, which means he's telling us the truth. I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away. Are we there yet? No. One jot, that's the Hebrew letter yod, the smallest Hebrew letter. Or one tittle, that's a piece of a letter that if changed would cause you to confuse, say, a dalet and a resh. So not a letter or a piece of a letter will by any means pass from the Torah till all is fulfilled. This is a different word, fulfilled. This one's genetai. G-E-N-E-T-A-I. Genetai. And it means till everything that's been prophesied comes to pass. When is all prophecy complete? It's when we're in the new heavens and the new earth. So in Matthew 5:18, you have Hebrew parallelism. Till heaven and earth pass away, until all is fulfilled, means the same thing. Two different ways of saying the same thing. So according to Messiah, what portion of the Torah will be done away with before we get to the new heavens and the new earth? None. And that's where preachers say, well, it was true when he said it. What does the scripture say in Matthew chapter 24? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Let's go look at it. Matthew 24, 35. Same author, same Messiah speaking, same red letters. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1. Surely Peter said the law is going to be done away with. No, he did not. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. What's truth? Psalm 119, verse 142. The Torah's truth. Through the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides, what's that next word? Forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of the grass. The grass withers and his flower falls away. But the word of the Lord endures forever. So in verse 23, it abides forever. In verse 25, it endures forever. What's Peter trying to say?
It's forever.
It's forever. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. If you think about Genesis chapter 15, verse 6, and Avram believed God, and God accounted him for righteousness, that word believed is ha'amin, from which we get the word amen. So it means that God spoke, and Abraham said, okay, if you said it, that's it. How many times did God say, this is forever? And people want to say, that was temporary. Let's go back to Numbers 23:19. Numbers 23:19. Does God change or does God not change? I know, it's Old Testament. Do you think we'll go back to the New Testament? Yeah, sure we will. Numbers 23, verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. It's not repent, it's change his mind. So God is not wishy-washy. God is not like you and me, where when we get older, we tend to forget things. I don't know about you, but I need to start writing my name in my shirt, you know? God's not like that. God doesn't change. He doesn't change his mind. He doesn't lie. So look at Malachi 3:6. Go to the other end of the New Testament. See if God has changed by then. Nope. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. If you get to Matthew, you went a few pages too far. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. For I am the Lord, I what? Do not change. Okay, Psalm 89:34. I said it a few times, but now I want you to put your eyes on it. If God doesn't lie, if God doesn't change his mind, then Psalm 89, verse 34 must be true. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. To alter a word that's gone out of his lips would mean that God changed his mind. When God said, thou shalt not commit murder, you know what he meant? Thou shalt not commit murder. I know there are translations out there that say, thou shalt not kill, but that's not a good translation. There's a difference between the word kill and the word murder. They're quite different. So let's go to Matthew 24. Oh, we just did that. Oh, let's do it again. Matthew 24:35. You just noticed something in Psalm
89:34 that I've never seen.
89:34 that you've never seen before.
The word it says, I will not break.
I will not break.
I will not profane.
I will not profane. If he breaks his covenant, that is to profane it.
It's from the verb halal.
Halal, right. Halal means to praise. Something's holy. Halal is the opposite. Something is profaned. Something is dirty. Something is not holy.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, if that word halal comes up now and then. And if you're just reading through the Hebrew quick, you can misinterpret halal and halal, because there's just a little bitty tiny piece of a mark that distinguishes the two. That's one of those things that's called a tittle, something Messiah said won't pass away. So in Matthew 24, verse 35, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. That goes right with Psalm 89:34. It's the same thing, but it's in the New Testament this time. And then we will look at John chapter 10. John chapter 10. John lived longer than any of the other apostles. He wrote much later. Tried so very hard to get us to understand that Yeshua was not just a man, but that he's the Son of God. John chapter 10, verse 35. If he called them Elohim, to which the word of God came, and the scriptures what? Cannot be broken. So the word of God, the scriptures, the words that came out of his mouth cannot be broken. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I know we're getting close to time to quit, but you guys came a long way, so we may as well go on a little while. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse 16. We talked about it earlier, but here's your chance to put your eyes on it. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. Verse 15 refers to the Holy Scriptures. It's in Luke 24 where Messiah defines that as the law, the prophets, and the writings, the Tanakh. Verse 16 says, all Scripture, or it's better translated, every Scripture, is given by inspiration of God. No, the words are theonuptos, are God-breathed. That is, they came out of the mouth of the living God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So Paul told Timothy, which commandments did God speak that are now irrelevant? None are irrelevant. They're all relevant. Every word God spoke is what should be our doctrine and used for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. That's what Torah means, is instruction in righteousness.
Same scriptures that we call the Old Testament are able to make you wise for salvation.
You are correct.
You can lead somebody to saving faith.
You can lead somebody to saving faith without ever opening the New Testament.
Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch.
Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. I've known many Jewish people who have that same testimony, that somebody read to me Isaiah 53, but I thought they were reading from the New Testament. And when they showed me it was in the Tanakh, then I knew I had to accept it. Okay, because we're running short on time, let's do the short version. Go to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Verse 17. James chapter 1, verse 17. Says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Which means God never changes. Without turning to it, just write in your notes, the New Covenant, Jeremiah 31:33, the Torah is written on your heart and in your mind. So to say, that was Old Testament, we're under the New Covenant, so therefore the law doesn't apply, is to misunderstand the New Covenant. The law of the New Covenant is the Torah. It has never changed. And in Isaiah chapter 2, verses 2 to 3, just put it in your notes, Isaiah 2, verses 2 to 3. In the Messianic Kingdom, Messiah is going to teach the Torah. The same Messiah that most theologians say abolished the Torah is going to teach the Torah. In Micah chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, the very same thing and almost identical words. Two more scriptures and then we'll stop. Ezekiel 44. The reason I want you to look at these in Ezekiel 44 is this is the Messianic Kingdom. Messiah is sitting on the throne.
Where is
Ezekiel chapter 44. Messiah returns in chapter 43 and establishes the Messianic Kingdom on earth. Isaiah 2 and Micah 4 says he teaches Torah, but Ezekiel 44 goes into more detail. How do we know that it's still clean and unclean? How do we know it's still Shabbat, etc.? Well, let's read the answer. Verse 23, talking about the priests who are serving under Messiah in his temple. They shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the unholy, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. In controversy, they shall stand as judges and judge it according to my judgments. They shall keep my laws, that word is Torah, and my statutes, those are the chukot, in all my appointed meetings, that's Passover, unleavened bread, first fruits, etc. And they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Has the law changed? It has not. God said it was forever, he meant it was forever. And let's end with Isaiah 66 as our last scripture for tonight. Ezekiel 44, verses 23 to 24. You're welcome. Sorry, I don't mean to get going so fast. I look at the clock. I shouldn't. Except I should. What is that old saying? The brain cannot endure more than the derriere can withstand. Yeah. So Isaiah 66, verses 22 to 23. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, shall remain before me, says the Lord. And how long is that? Forever and ever without end. Le'olam va'ed. So shall your descendants and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. The new moons refer to the timing of the feasts and festivals, the appointed times of the Lord. So for how long are we going to keep the appointed times of the Lord and Shabbat? Forever and ever without end.